Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
By the end of December 2023, our team had wrapped up production on Hello, John Doe. Todd and I talked a little bit about what we'd both do next, how excited we were about the show coming out, what kind of other unbelievable stories he'd come across that might warrant a second season. On January 3rd of this year, I got a call from my editor, Catherine. Todd had passed away that morning. He was only 53. I'm still not exactly sure how to process this. None of us are. But our team did what we knew we had to. We flew to Tennessee, paid our respects, and dedicated an episode to Todd Matthews' remarkable life.
We do have a very full flight this morning, so if you do have a larger roller bag, please put it in whales first and then flip it on its side.
We couldn't let Todd go to the other side of the veil without a proper goodbye. And we wanted to finish what Todd started. Reach back out to Steve one last time to see what it all meant to him. My name is Kate Mishkin, and this is Hello, John Doe, a sleuth, a family, and a serial killer. The story of a family torn apart by tragedy and Todd's quest to bring them back together. This is Chapter 11, the first of three bonus episodes. This one's for Todd. Toddstown, Livingston, Tennessee, is about an hour and a half outside of Nashville. A little sleepy and tucked away between mountains and trees. It was just a few days after the new year. The trees were barren, gray. Todd's visitation was at a funeral home, right next to the clothing boutique his wife Lori ran.
And so today we gather to honor and to celebrate the remarkable life of Todd Matthews.
There was so many people there. A lot of people. They were weaving us back and forth in the pews. And all I could do was watch that little TV thing showed all their pictures, you know.
That's Rosemary Westbrook. You might remember her from our first episode. She's the sister of Tent Girl, the very first woman Todd helped identify, the one that basically changed his life and obviously changed hers.
It was a lot of thoughts running through your head of many years past.
Rosemary and her family drove up from Arkansas to say goodbye. They were among the hundreds. There were people from the Doe Network, families he'd helped reunite, his own family, his wife, their two kids, and his grandkids. People from Hutchinson, the factory where he started his career. Tina Hall, his cousin who grew up with him, was surprised by the wide range of people who showed up.
I knew he had done a lot, but But even after his passing now, it's just amazing how many people came out to the funeral home and the stories about how he touched their lives. We were so proud of him.
There were so many people in the receiving line that Todd's wife, Lori, stood by the casket for more than 4 hours.
You know how you kind of listen in on stories as you're passing through this weaving motion? And most of them were stories of Todd being a prankster. You know, how he played a trick on this one, played a trick on that one, and tell somebody to go do something and watch him come out the building and laugh at him.
I overheard that same thing. I knew this firsthand, but Todd didn't change his persona if he was at the factory, or the Doe Network, or the Department of Justice, or in his living room. He was the same guy, tender-hearted with a propensity for tricks. We paid our respects and then came back the next day for the funeral. That's when we met John Brett, an old friend of Todd's.
I first met Todd in an unconventional way. I was working as an investigative reporter at WLEX-TV in Lexington, Kentucky. I was sitting at my desk one afternoon in the newsroom, and the phone rang. And I picked it up, and that voice. He started the conversation with, "You're gonna think I'm crazy, but please don't hang up until you hear my story." And that call was about the Tent Girl case.
John was taken with Todd. Who was this guy? Todd ended up doing his first TV interview with John back in 1998. This was a milestone for him and the beginning of a lifelong friendship between two men.
He was a son, a husband, a father, a poppy, and to many of us here, a friend and a mentor. His humor, as we've heard, is legendary, as his investigative skills.
Todd was famous in Livingston, not just because of his national profile. He was an original, hard to miss.
He was a man who found joy in life's simplest moments, whether it was nurturing his garden or cooking a meal for his family. His passing leaves a void that can never be filled, but his legacy is immortal. It lives on in the lives that he touched, the mysteries that he solved, the love he spread.
If you've been listening to this podcast, you know Todd had a pretty unique relationship to death. Like he said himself, he confronted it early on when he lost his two siblings. And it was a huge part of how he made his living, reuniting dead and missing people with their families. Todd talked a lot about death before his passing. Not in a morbid way. He was just matter-of-fact about it.
I'm not squeamish. I could eat cereal out of a dry skull.
A few years ago, some documentary filmmakers from Morgan Freeman's production company filmed Todd when they were thinking about making a movie about him. After he died, we listened back to those recordings. I was stunned by how poignant his words were. In his passing, they gained meaning, became even more profound.
Death is part of life. It is a real chapter of life. You have to accept that as you've done enough. You've done everything that you can do. Accept the things you can't change and embrace the things that you can. So that's what I had to do to make myself be okay, because I feel like I'm somebody that wants to see, you want it all. But sometimes you have enough.
As we were making Hello, John Doe, we thought we were capturing the story of Steve Patterson. We didn't realize we were documenting the last years of Todd's life, too. You've heard Todd talk about losing his brother and sister.
I was 2 years old, but I still remember fragments of the emotion.
What he hadn't told you yet was that he had open heart surgery when he was just 8 years old.
There was a period of time I wasn't expected to live, so growing up, I really never expected to be here today. So I feel like almost my entire adult life, I felt like I was living on borrowed time. I wasn't planning on being a grandfather, but yet I'm here. So it gives you a different point of view. I don't feel like life was owed to me. I felt like I was granted life that was beyond what I expected.
I always wondered what was driving Todd.
So you do have to appreciate it. And I do. I do appreciate it. It's like, so what do you do with it?
I guess this was it. He was compelled to do something with the time he was given. He didn't just help one family. He helped dozens, hundreds.
And it was a strange niche with missing and unidentified. You don't just choose that. It chooses you. And maybe that's what's kept me here for so long.
It just feels like Todd was born to do this kind of work, to nestle into people's lives at their darkest points.
I do make friends really quickly with people, and that's just my nature. Some of my best friends are dead, but it's okay. They were dead when I met them. And it's like, why is that weird? And I don't think that's inappropriate. Not at all. I don't. I think it's absolutely necessary. In matters of life and death, it's absolutely necessary that somebody truly knows that you're going to do everything you can to resolve it for them. Just because somebody's unclaimed doesn't mean they're unwanted.
All this to say, when Todd died, I hope he'd already made peace with it.
I think death is such a stigma because people, it's something you don't want to do. You know, it's like nobody wants to die. You heard the saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. It's just like, it's easy to just like, let's just forget about that. Let's push it away. That's going to be a long time from now. I don't want to deal with it. It's only sad. It's only bad. Let's not think about it. But it's just like, it is a part of life.
In this video, Todd was in the car, showing the producers around Livingston. He was wearing a baseball cap, and he had a look on his face I came to know fairly well. It's kind of a lopsided grin, like he's already thinking five steps ahead of you. He pulled up to the cemetery where his brother and sister were buried.
I think if you can prepare for it and accept it, because you're not going to change it. I would love to change it if I could, but I realized that instead of avoiding it, pushing it off, evading it, you got to think about, what do I need to do before I'm here? What do I need to do to finish up some things in life before I lay down here and go to sleep myself? I don't want to have that damnation of wishing I had of. So that's why I want to do now while I have time. Because I know the day is coming, I'll lay down here. So I want to do it with a clean slate, if I could say that. I'd like to do it when I think, you know what? You done all you could do. Be proud of it. Be happy. So you lay down when the work is done.
In that interview, Todd talked about how he felt about dying, that he didn't talk about everyone he'd leave behind. And he didn't give us instructions on what we're supposed to do without him. Lately, Todd's family's been wondering how to live in a world without him. His son, Devin, who's 22, saw his dad's work up close.
He went to Kentucky one time. I was with him when he exhumed a grave. I was there for a part of that, and that was really, really cool. He was just in his element.
Todd never shielded his kids from what he did for a living.
From a pretty young age, I knew exactly what it was because I had to know. I was always nosy. And it was never like a traumatizing thing. It was always just like, oh, wow, okay, that's fascinating.
Which meant that when the time came, Devin felt better equipped to deal with grief than most.
I mean, if there's anybody that's helped me realize that it happens to everyone and all different kinds of ways, it's him. And I don't know, I feel like it's given me a better outlook on it.
Not shielding his kids from death meant Devin and his brother Dylan grew up with a pretty unique understanding of it. They had to roll with Todd's morbid sense of humor.
I remember specifically growing up, we had this head in the house. It was a skull, and it was facially reconstructed.
That's Todd's older son, Dylan.
So it looked like a woman's head. It had the eyes and everything. And we had a small chihuahua, and we didn't want the dog getting into that and messing with it. So at night, that head would have to be in my room. He'd get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work when he worked at Hutchinson.
The factory down the street, where Todd helped make air conditioning parts.
Every night when I went to bed, I turned that head away from me because it was creepy. And every morning when I woke up, it was facing me. And he never admitted to it. I was like 9 years old. So always stuff like that, yeah. But yeah, he never admitted to it his whole life. But I mean... I had nightmares about that thing.
He was always causing trouble. He loved pranking people. Todd and his cousin Tina were like brother and sister, only 17 months apart. Once, when they were adults, they went to the grocery store while both of their kids were at karate practice. They opened Todd's trunk in the parking lot.
Todd said, "Watch out for her and be careful with her." And I'm like, "Who?" He points to a box. And it was a box of bones that he was taking somewhere, you know, and this wasn't uncommon for Todd to have something like this in his car.
Then later in the night, Tina opened the trunk again.
Something fell out and I was terrified to look. I just covered my eyes. I said, "Please tell me it wasn't her. Please tell me it wasn't her." It was my 12 pack of Cokes, but still I was terrified.
He was always up to something. When Todd and I drove across North Carolina to meet Steve's family over Memorial Day weekend in 2023, he took every opportunity to tell me about his many irons in the fire. Todd's ambitions went way beyond the Department of Justice. He had ideas for at least two other podcasts. There was his screenplay about the bounty hunter. He officiated weddings. He dabbled in the wine business. And he had a prolific side career in background acting, including in a 2022 movie called Santa Boot Camp, starring Rita Moreno. Even with all of his projects, Todd found the time to teach special needs classes at a middle school. He taught at Livingston Academy, the very same place he'd gone to school 4 decades ago.
I think he left a legacy at the school, too, because a lot of those students with his special needs class, he really changed their lives and impacted their families. And I think that he'll be talked about for a long time around there, especially with the sudden loss. Like, they really were prepared to have him in the coming years.
So were we. In the final months of production on this podcast, I told Todd that some of my friends and coworkers had encouraged me to take some time off after the show was released. I could rest a little, recharge, think about the next project. Todd scoffed, told me to keep going. There were too many stories to tell. Honestly, I liked hearing that from him. He had a motor. He'd rest later. His sons told me Todd was feeling really good about his life, including this podcast coming out. He was looking forward to the end of winter break, to getting back to teaching the kids.
And he said that he had a really good, like, end of the year. And he hadn't been this happy in a long time. He was about to go back to work. Wednesday would have been his first day back. He was so excited.
You'd think work was his life. But if he were here, he'd tell you the most important things happened at home. He especially loved his grandkids, Connor and River. He talked about them all the time.
He loved my kids. Said if we could just have skipped the kids and went straight to the grandkids, you know. Now, he could not have been nicer to my kids. If that was the only thing he ever accomplished was making those two grandkids possible, then that would have been enough for him.
Todd and his family all basically lived on one block. Todd and his wife, Lori, were in one house. Dylan and his family were within eyesight. Todd's parents were there, too, even Todd's brother. For the Matthews family, Todd is everywhere.
When I walk out the door, I can almost see him walking down the driveway to his house. I can't look out the door without seeing some plant he's planted, some tree he planted.
When Todd passed away, his family took on a unique assignment, writing letters to him. Then they buried them with him.
My mother's letters in his left breast pocket, my letters in his right breast pocket. My kids' letters are in his hands. He would have loved those letters. Things that we all should have said to him. Every day, but you don't get a chance until it's too late sometimes. If he was miraculously able to come back and get possession of those, that would be his most cherished things he could possibly have in his life.
If he did come back. A few of his relatives kind of joked about Todd's return from the beyond. Family member Brent Wright even made a joke about it at the funeral.
I'm still in somewhat of disbelief. I still think this might be one of Todd's pranks. I'm just waiting for him to pop out in the corner somewhere and say, aha, I gotcha.
This was a part of Todd, too. There was something about him that was a little supernatural, like he had a direct line to the dead. When Todd started telling me about this, I brushed it off. But there was something about the way he said it. I kind of just began believing it. Here's his son, Dylan.
Off the record, of course, but I made a joke to a lot of the family members. I said, you better stay away from the Ouija board for a while because your house will be possessed with the spirit of Todd. Well, you can. I don't mind. He would enjoy that joke, I think.
Todd had a sense of humor about death and the afterlife.
My mom even said, she's like, I'll know if it's possible to come back, because she said, if anybody's coming back, he's coming back. He always said he would, too. He's like, I'll haunt her. But he's just joking, you know, but just joking.
He's not really talking about a ghost hiding under a white sheet. Todd's beliefs, I think, were really more spiritual. He talked about being on one side of the veil that separated life and death. The way Todd talked about it, that veil was more sheer for him than for most.
I can kind of feel his presence sometimes, like when I'm thinking about him, I'm just like, ooh. Like, this is weird. Like, I can feel that you're here, but I can't see that you're here. It's just crazy.
I like to think he's right. I hope he had a way to see the hundreds of people who showed up for him at his funeral. I think he'd be proud of the way his son summoned the courage to be interviewed on maybe the hardest day of their lives. I think he'd be thrilled to see the release of this podcast, a project he'd been ostensibly working on for 20 years. But it really all started with Tent Girl. This is Rosemary Westbrook again, Tent Girl's sister.
There is nothing I don't think that anybody could ever match what he has done. And if it wasn't for Todd being so damn persistent, we'd still not know where she was. So what does Todd mean to us? Everything. And who's to say that he might leave a little tidbit of information here, little clues? You don't know that. You know, do I believe in God? Yes, I do. Do I believe in Todd? Yes, I do.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Wednesday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hey, Steve, it's Kate.
Hey, Kate, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
The last we'd heard from Steve, he'd been surprised by his biological mom, Sandy, at a hotel room in North Carolina. Todd wanted Steve to find peace, and he thought that meeting his birth mom would help that along. But after that day, Todd came to realize that Steve deserved a heads up. He should have had the chance to decide whether it was time to meet his biological mom or not. The surprise reunion caused a bit of a break in Steve and Todd's relationship. I suspected Steve had some complicated feelings about Todd. The last time he saw Todd was in that hotel room last August. He was shocked by Todd's death just 5 months later in early January.
It was a lot of mixed emotions because, I didn't get to tell him Merry Christmas because it was kind of weird between us. Just because we had met and then he brought my mom there. And I feel bad about that. I really do. Because he didn't tell me that he was bringing my mom at the motel room.
He sprung it on him.
That's Steve's girlfriend, Jeanette.
He sprung it on Steve, and that was just not what he wanted, and how it was all handled was wrong. And I feel like they did it without being Steve's mom there on purpose, because they knew how Steve felt, and Steve wasn't going to stand up for himself. And so there was a little tension, I guess.
No one expected this to be the last conversation between the men. Todd said so himself in the last episode. He expected that in a few years, they'd reconnect and continue down the path together.
I wish I'd have told him Merry Christmas.
Steve has just beat himself up over that because he didn't reach out on Christmas. And, like, you don't think that you're not going to be able to, like, fix it. And so, you know, Steve struggled with that a little bit because you fight and then you fix it. And like, they didn't have time to fix it.
Steve said that even when they were distant, he didn't forget how Todd got into his life in the first place.
I didn't lose respect for him.
No.
Not at all. No. I just think the stuff went
It just could have been handled. It could have been handled differently. Well, but that doesn't change how Steve felt about
Todd. I mean, I love Todd.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was just like a normal family fuss.
He felt like we were brothers.
Yeah. And
he told me that numerous times.
I'd never heard this from Steve, that the brotherhood may have felt reciprocal to him, too. All along, Steve had been getting to know his biological family he never knew. Along the way, he gained Todd, too.
But he was one of the greatest people I've ever known in my life.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, it was great, man. He came to bat for me when nobody else came to bat, including the FBI, the police, just anybody. I mean, he believed my story.
He was the only one.
Before anybody ever believed it.
And if you could have heard Steve when he called me, because he's like, he believes me. Like, he's going to help us. He believes me. It was just insane.
Yeah.
Because nobody believed us.
Man, if it wouldn't have been for him, I wouldn't even be where I'm at right now. I would still be a missing person.
Steve says he's still talking to his sisters.
I love my sisters, but I'm just the same dude I was. I had a good childhood with my mom. I'm just a normal guy with just a fucked up story.
Are things going okay?
Yeah, it is. Yes. It was rough for a little bit, but that was, you know, it's been rough. Like, people don't find things out like this about themselves, but, you know, we're good.
Then Steve said something that knocked the wind out of me.
And I just wonder who's going to take his place.
Oof.
I mean, I'm not the smartest man in the world on computers, but I would like to do that too.
Really?
I mean, if I could change somebody's life like he changed mine, then that would be good for me.
Steve wants to volunteer with the Doe Network, the online platform Todd started at the beginning of his career. I can't think of anything more meaningful. Todd and his wife, Lori, had been married for 36 years. You met Lori in episode 1. Todd always talked about the two like they were something even more than soulmates, that they were meant to be together. Lori's dad was the one who found Tent Girl. So in a way, the two were intertwined early on.
He loved to make people laugh. The biggest thing he did is he liked to scare you. You would jump out anywhere. You could come out of the bathroom, out of the hallway, wherever. He would jump out and scare you, and he would have the biggest laugh. But we would always get mad because, you know, you don't like being scared. But I got to where I was doing him the same way, and he didn't like it as well either.
Lori also told me that Todd loved being outside. He'd spend hours out there in silence, just thinking. He liked to have his hands in the dirt, planting something new.
He planted a tree every year. He planted a tree for our anniversary. He planted a tree for each kid's a birth date. Like, he would plant a tree on the day they were born. He planted a tree on our grandbaby's birthdays.
Despite his many projects and interests, Todd always made time for his family. He and Lori would go out to dinner or go shopping. He made her dinner every single night.
Family meant everything to Todd. He always wanted us to get together. He always wanted to have cookouts, Thanksgiving, Christmas. We had always had to do things together.
Why do you think that was? What about him wanted that?
I think it had something to do with maybe his brother and sister passing at an early age. He just always wanted everybody to be together, be happy.
I asked Lori about what Devin had said about Todd being so satisfied in the last days of 2023.
We spent the Saturday night with my family, and then we went to a New Year's Eve party. And then we had New Year's Day, and then the day after, and we was just preparing for work, and we just got along. We were happy. We did everything together, and we talked about stuff, and just, I don't know. He just said, Lori, I've had the best 3 days. He was just like, I finally got where I wanted to be.
They were incredibly close, but Todd kept a lot of his work to himself.
I think he hid a lot of his stress. I think he stayed up many nights tortured over, you know, some of the cases that he worked on, you know, like the Steve Patterson case. You know, it did bother him. He really wanted to solve that case.
For her part, Lori didn't give Todd's work too much thought.
I wasn't interested in his work because I lived it, so it wasn't enjoyable for me. But now I realize I'm going to have to live it.
Why do you feel like you have to do it?
I would love to see his work continue, and I don't know who else could do it.
Now she's trying to learn how the Doe Network works so she can carry on the torch and carry on Todd's legacy of reuniting these families. Maybe she can help bring others peace.
I'm trying to do some research, trying to look for some missing people that hopefully I can take over and help him and just continue his work. My goal is to keep the Doe Network going and just trying to continue what he wanted.
What's it been like to learn that? What's involved?
It's a lot harder than I thought. It's a chore trying to get through everything and the enormity of how many people are actually missing or unidentified. I did not realize that so many people are struggling and suffering, looking for their families and all of these missing people and all the unidentifieds. There is people looking for them. There has to be. So it's just blowing my mind how many people it really is.
I told her how Steve wanted to help out too.
I mean, we'll accept any volunteer. I mean, the Doe Network is a family of volunteers. You know, if he wants to volunteer, we'd be more than happy to have him. We can set him up. Maybe he can one day solve a missing person case.
It's given Lori a deeper appreciation for her husband's work.
He showed me what it was like to have an impact on people in the world. He showed me how he was a great teacher. He showed me that you can get places by working. I do think that Todd did make me a better person.
In the months before he died, Todd and Lori would take walks together at night, and they'd listen to early mixes of this podcast. Lori would always want Todd to pause the podcast so she could ask questions. Why did you say that?
Because, you know, he just didn't discuss it with me because he just didn't feel like I was interested in his work, which, you know, I wish now that I'd show more that I was, but I was always proud of him.
Lori's been listening to this podcast as it comes out, but with every week that goes by, there are fewer episodes to listen to.
It's hard to listen to him, but it does give me peace because I know that's what he wanted. The podcast is very comforting. And it's his legacy. It's what he wanted to do. It made him happy. And I can hear his voice even after he's gone. I'm just so glad he got to finish it.
Me too.
It's just perfect timing.
I know.
Maybe that was his goal in life. Maybe that's what he was supposed to do.
Finish the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. And in a way, you're kind of finishing it for him because this will be the last episode.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So I think it's pretty special.
And I will love him forever.
If you'd like to know more about Doe Network or donate, visit doenetwork.org.
Hello, John Doe is an original production by Revelations Entertainment in association with First and Last Productions. From Revelations, our executive producers are Morgan Freeman and James Younger. From First to Last, Lindsay Moreno is the executive producer. Our producing partner is Neon Hum Media. It was written and produced by Kate Mishkin. Our editor is Catherine St. Louis. She is also Neon Hum Media's executive editor. Our executive producer is Shara Morris. Our development producer is Ian Lindsay. Our associate producer is Rufaro Faith Mazarura. Sound design and mixing by Scott Somerville. Theme and original music composed by Jesse Perlstein. Additional music came from Epidemic Sound and Blue Dot Sessions. Fendel Fulton is our fact checker. Our production manager is Samantha Allison. From My Heart Media, Dylan Fagan is our executive producer. Special thanks to Adelia Rubin at Neon Hum, and Carrie Lieberman and Will Pearson at iHeartMedia. I'm Todd Matthews. You can learn more about NamUs at namus.gov. The number for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's call center is 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-843-5678. The National Sexual Assault Hotline from the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network is 1-800-656-4673.
We have two more bonus episodes for you, starting next week. Next episode, we talk to an expert about late discoverers, adoptees like Steve Patterson, who discover late in life that they were adopted, and the impact that has on their lives. Join us.
Okay, guys, this is the end of the show. If you didn't like it, don't do anything. But if you did like it, you make sure that you rate and review the show. It helps more people to find it and hear this wonderful story. Thanks again for listening.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com. It's full of hot savings. At CheapCaribbean.com, score an extra $175 off site-wide on vacations of 4 nights or more now through June 3rd. A swim-up bar in Punta Cana or dip your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Start at CheapCaribbean.com.